So this comes from some Mamre Amaria. Again, for each month of the year, he wrote a sentence or two about that month. And this is the last one, the last year. He did it for 3 years. The last year on Shvat, this is what we're going to read now. We're going to have to understand, again, when Rav Kook says a sentence, he says a lot. So what's he saying? He says, Cheshek letias ilanos, nova mechifetz hatavas hadoros habayim. The desire, the cheshek, to plant trees, comes, it stems from the want, the chepetz, the desire to supply for the future generations. That's where that want to plant comes, speaking about that, about the future generations. Again, we could probably talk about why it says cheshek and chepetz. I think people speak about that, discuss that, but we're not going to discuss that. Hamuv la b'tikifo be'etz acharov. And where is this demonstrated the most? Through the carob tree. That's what Rav Kook says. So again, our cheshek, the plant, comes from our cheshek, from our ratzon, our desire to produce for the future generations, and that's most demonstrated through the carob, through the carob tree. So what does that mean? So that's what we have to understand. So I'm going to first start with Sosim Yom Korn V'Chag. So you have to start with the Medrash in Esther Rabbah. Esther Rabbah. Mamash, it's Zachonos right now. That's scary. Mamash, we're planting the seeds for Purim already, right now. Unbelievable. It says that Haman, we all know the story. Haman wants to kill the Jews, and he's trying to figure out, when should I kill the Jews? So what does he do? He starts looking at the Mazalos. We know there's something called Mazalos. There's different, zodiac signs? I don't know how to call it that, because it sounds like tummy. Astronomical, whatever, signs in the sky. So he's looking, Haman's looking, which month has like the weakest, has the weakest mazel, and that's the month I'm going to choose. We know he ends up choosing Adar, because he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar. Okay? But Chazar Badak B'Mazalos says he was looking at all the Mazalos, and it goes through all the different Mazalos. And it says, now it's talking about Shvat, and he saw that the Li, what's the zodiac sign, what's the Mazel of Shvat? It's the Li, a bucket. So, what's a bucket? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we know what a bucket is. I'm saying, what's the significance of a bucket? We have to figure out. And Zeh Moshe, that's Moshe. The Deli, the bucket, is Moshe. So we have to understand what Deli has to do with Shvat. We have to understand what Moshe has to do with Deli. And because of this, it says that he didn't end up killing Klai Sol, didn't pick up Shvat, because it's too dangerous to mess with that. Whatever that power is of Deli and Moshe. And how do we know it's Moshe's Deli? Because it said in it says Shenamar Bo, when he went to in Shmos, that Vegam Dalad La Laru, that when he went to go, when he met Yisro's daughters for the first time, you know this. Remember the story that he went. The shepherds were messing around with Yisro's daughters. They wouldn't let them drink their animals. Their flock were not allowed. Yeah. They're being
just guys.
You know, how can a Chinook of Yisro's daughters? So what happened was Moshe came. He scared them away, and he filled up the pitchers and gave drinks to the flocks of Yisro. And the daughters came in. He said he also gave water to the flocks. So that, since it says Dala, which is Lashon Dali, so that's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? And then it goes on to say that the next one is Adar. Okay? That's, we have 30 days to develop Adar. Right now we gotta work on Shvat, so we can get into Adar. Right? So what's the Yisod here? What's going on with Dali, that's Moshe's Dali? What is Dali? Let's try to understand what a Dali is. A Dali is a bucket. And what's a job of a bucket? It's very interesting if you think about a job of the bucket. The bucket doesn't live for itself. The bucket fills himself up, and gives over to somebody else. At no point is the Dali really for himself. The Dali receives and then gives over. That's the job of a Dali, of the bucket. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he's Adam Mikol Adam. He wasn't someone who was focused on himself. His whole sole purpose in this world was to receive Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He received the Torah, and then his job was to give it over to Klal Yisrael. That was his job. That was his essence. That was his purpose in this world. He took something deep, something they can't see. If he took it, and he gave it over. And he assured that people had it. And that's why it says, what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu? How does Devarim start? Bir Moshe's Devarim Ela. Then it says, in the 40th year when they're in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bir Satorah Azos. In the month of Shvat, he starts to explain the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Bir, what's bir? Explaining, but that's not what bir means. Bir means it was like a well. It was a well. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the dali and filling it up with Torah and giving it to Klal Yisrael. That was the end of his life from Shvat until Zayin Adar when he dies. From that, his whole essence was just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. He was a dali. That was his essence. And he left this world told he did. He left this world doing that. Just giving over, just giving over, just giving over, just giving over. Yeah.
It says here that he died in Echad Adar.
It's probably a mistake, is my guess. Unless it's different before Shimon when Moshe Rabbeinu dies.
Yeah, famous.
So yeah.
Moshe and died on the 7th of Adar.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
That's it.
Why Moshe Feinstein also? You said no. He died. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I think, died other time also. The Moshe and Rosh Shlomo Zalman died very, very like close to each other. Yeah.
Maybe Rachel or Nassim Tzvi.
Really? That's in Cheshvan, I think.
Oh man.
Well, Cheshvan and Adar, the same thing. So Adol Yadav in Adar le Cheshvan. Yeah, I mean that's like the new pshat that you're getting this year. That's the chiddush of this year. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells us this idea of the dali. The Dalia of giving. And he represents the month of Shvat. He represents the idea of trees. We know that the Shvat's all about the trees. And it's all about, what's it teaching us? What's the Dalia teaching us? It's teaching us this idea that Rav Cooks wants to tell us. What does that mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah on the highest level. That he represents Torah. Moshe is Torah. That's his essence. And to give over Torah. But what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us? Do you want to know what the ultimate form of Torah is? It's to be a Dali. It's to be somebody who receives from the past, but then he's thinking about the future. And he wants to give over to the future. And he wants to give over to all of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean to be a Dali? It's kind of like what we spoke about last week. What's Torah Lishma that Rav Cook was talking about last week? The Torah Lishma that Rav Cook was talking about is not that I'm learning for myself. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not for me. It's the whole purpose is to give over. It's to attach. It's to connect. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu represents. He represents this idea of what he do. He receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then he gave it over to the next generation of Klal Yisrael. And he attached it to Klal Yisrael. That's Shvat. It's a month where we're represent that the trees are teaching us this yisod. Again, we're gonna focus on two ideas. This is the first idea. The first idea is that my Torah is not for me. My Torah and a Jew's life, and I don't think this is for Torah, but specifically in Torah, it's not just about me, it's about giving. So then that answers the first sentence of the of Rav Cook. Of what that means, that we're looking for the future generations. That's where that idea of planting, what does it mean planting? You know, it's chaim machazikim ba. That the whole idea of my learning is not just for me, but it's for everybody. And that's what my intention has been. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have 1 ounce of his own agenda in his Torah. It's all about taking what God gave him and giving it over.
But
yeah,
I believe it has to empty itself before it can fill it again.
Okay.
Why not be like a mirror? I'm saying like a mirror is always reflecting. It's never chaser.
Because I think a person, it's a good question, I think that a person, if you were to say that's a mirror, that means I never have to refill the buckets. Mm-hmm. If a person, I'll tell you so, when you're giving, you always have to be filling up your bucket again. Because if you fill up your bucket and just give it out, then you're done.
You have to take also. You have to take also.
But you're taking, what's your taking? It's not for you. What's the bucket? The bucket's not taking water for itself to drink. The bucket doesn't drink. Okay? It's fulfilling its mission of then giving it over to other people. I mean, it itself can never accomplish its mission by just giving it to itself. Just to sit in the bucket. The bucket in the well that's on that string, it goes in the water, you pull it up, and then you give it to somebody, you do something with the water. Mm-hmm. And then you start all over again. I mean, you're constantly, you're taking for yourself in order to give. Yeah. I mean, it can't just be about me. And through that, the bucket fulfills its purpose. Right?
Yeah.
That's the ultimate form of the bucket. It's doing its tafkid, it's doing its avoda. Okay, and it goes up, to, after 120 years, it goes up to bucket, kind of, you know what I mean?
Like,
it's sitting
there. It's like, then you start to bring to the moon. And that's kind of key to the mirror.
Yeah.
Because it's not something to work for. You naturally are part of Klal Yisrael.
Well, so that's our aspect of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we all have a Tzom Elokim. Mm-hmm. That we're attached to that Tzom Elokim. That's forever. You can't. That's natural.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about an aspect of where our avoda, of us, again, it's a delay that we have to dig in. You mamash, you have to like go deep and under, and you have to you know, extrapolate all these amazing things from Torah. That's what we're doing. So now the question is, what's this this scar of this carob tree? What does it mean that we learn this out the most on the carob tree? So first we're gonna look at a couple sources here, and I'm gonna say a couple of chidushim. First of all, this I'll be honest, I heard this idea from a Weinberger that he brought up this Mamari Aria, and he brought this Esther Rabbah. Now we're going to look at this Gemara in Chulin. It says, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, B'chol yom v'yom baskol yotzas v'omeres kol ha'olam kulo, that every day a baskol, a voice comes out from Shemayim and declares, Nizom b'shvil chanina b'ni, that the world gets its sustenance because of chanina. V'chanina b'ni, why? Because chanina, my son, Dailo b'kav charuvin me'er Shabbos le'er Shabbos. Because by him, he can eat a cherub, like a, what's the thing, the carob, he can eat the carob, from Shabbos to Shabbos. That his whole energy, his whole sustenance comes from carobs. And because of that, the whole world could survive. So what does that mean? What's it telling me? What's the idea of the cherub? And why, because of that, the whole world is sustained because of that. It's preserved because of that. So the yisod is, we'll see it outside and we'll read it inside. The whole essence of a carob is that it gives over to other people. That's the whole essence. It's not about the carob. It's not about you. It's about the future. It's about giving over. Why? We're going to learn this Gemara now, the famous Gemara in Tainus. In source number 4. Tainus, Dafkof, Gimel, Amar Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yamav Shel Oso Tzadik, Hayim mitzdar al mikra zeh shir malas b'shuv Hashem shivat Zion. Choni Amagel, you know Choni Amagel. Choni Amagel, his whole life, he was bothered by the pasuk that says shir malos b'shuv Hashem shivat Zion. That Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to come back to Zion. Hayinu kachom, we'll be like dreamers, like we were dreaming for 70 years. All of a sudden, boom, we realized, oh, it all makes sense now. So he was bothered. What was he bothered? Amar mi ikad danim shivin shani b'chama. Who sits for 70 years dreaming? Says Choni Amagel. He's talking about 70 years. I know 70 years because this is talking about coming back from the gullus, the first gullus, which is 70 years from Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni, the gullus. So, but he says, how could somebody sleep for 70 years and all of a sudden we wake up and everything's great? What does that mean? So it says, Yumachad Dahave Azab Orcha, one day he was walking, Choni Amagel Chazila Hugabra, Dave Nata Charuva. He saw this one man who was planting a carob tree. Amarle, he said to him, hi. Hey man, Akabashnin Toin. How long is this gonna take to blossom? You're planting a tree now, how long is it gonna take? So Amarle, Achivin Shinin, it'll take 70 years. You think you're going to live 70 years? It's kind of like a mean thing to say. Yeah, you're dead. but we know that at Tehillim it says that a normal lifespan is 70 years. Mm-hmm. And he's already been alive for a year, obviously, because he's planting. So he's not going to be alive. So what are you planting this for? So Amar Lei, Hi Gavra Amar B'chru Vashkich, when I was born, I came to this world and I found carobs. So then, I think it's my obligation that my children, they'll find carobs in the world. So just right now, we see But the whole idea of cherubs. Oh, and because this will keep on. It's a very it's a cool story. Yasif kakarech rifta. So Hanani Bedosa went and he started eating bread. Also leshinza, he started getting tired and nim, and he fell asleep from the bread. I don't know what's in the bread. And then Amir says, hey, so, you know, just passed out. Nice passed out the point. Listen, it's unbelievable. Ahadrele Mishnu say, Ichsim Ine, that Minayim Shivin Shinin. What happened was when he fell asleep, rocks formed around him. No one knew where he went. He was like lost in these rocks. You know, he's in these rocks. It's a Gadatha. A lot going on, okay? But basically, they all thought he disappeared, and he fell asleep for 70 years. So this is like wild stuff. So after he Chonei Magal starts asking Hashem, how could he sleep for 70 years and dream? He falls asleep for 70 years. And what happens? So, Kikam Chazia Lahu Gavra Du Kab Melake Minayu. And he saw that this guy who planted it, he was picking off the fruits and the carrots 70 years later. So Amalei, Atu Dishtalase, are you the one that planted this? Amalei Bar Yahan, I'm his grandson. So Amar Le Shema Mino, the name is Shvin Shnin. So he said, "Oh, I must have slept for 70. I slept for 70 years,
right?"
And because of this, he understood. Because of this, he understood the whole idea. Now, Shira Malas, that wasn't mean. What does that mean? Let's go back to what does that mean? That it seems like for 70 years nothing's happening, but the whole time, Akash Baruch was preparing the next step. He was preparing the Geula. It looks like he's sleeping, but after 70 years, he realized he was connecting everything together. And the carob tree is what teaches us that. What does the carob tree teach us? That it's not about me. That the person planting it says it's not about me. I care about something in the future. I'm thinking about my children. I'm thinking about Klal Yisrael. Because if somebody's selfish and he just cares about himself, then he'll plant something right now. He'll plant an apple tree. The next year he'll have apples and Givaldik. See if it takes a year or not, but or long, you have to sell about Trump. So 3 years. After 3 years, you have apples. But no, that's how the sword is. The sword is a carob tree, and the sword is, we said, going back to the original sentence of Cook said, is that what? Our whole reason we plant is for our children. Why? Because the Torah is not just about me. My Torah, it's Chaim, is not just about me. It's about other people in Klal Yisrael, and it's about my children and establishing more of Klal Yisrael. And what demonstrates that the most? The charuf. The carob tree. That's the yisod. That's the yisod. That's a lesson of the carob tree. Not just about me. Stop being selfish. Source number 5. This is where I had a chiddush. Where else do we know about a carob tree, guys? Who?
Yochanan.
Rhymes with Rashi.
Rashbi.
Very good. Rashbi. Rashbi. Let's see. Let's source number 5. Azalhu Bre Tashu Bemi Joshua. That they left, they ran away from the Beis Medrash, the Romans were coming after them. They were hiding in the Beis Medrash, and every day, oh sorry. They were in the Beis Medrash, and they were hiding, every day they were bringing bread, and they were bringing water, and then suddenly they realized, when they realized that the gzir was getting worse, he said, "Nashiv Dyson Kalolim." We're not going to translate that. Dilma Mitzarila Migalima. Maybe they'll reveal where they're hiding. Okay, so what do they do? We know the famous story. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. Azlu Tashu B'Marasa. They went in here in the cave. So okay, nice. But this is what we're. This is the zeroing on these words right now. Itchar Itrachish Nisa. There was a nes. Ibarlu Charuba Ve'Inedimia. They got two things. A carob tree, and they got a river flowing with water. Okay? So now, it's my question that I was thinking about. Why in the world did they get these two things? A carob tree, and then a river. What's the yisod? What's it teaching us? That's A. Oh. We're going to answer that, and then we'll go Vayter in the Gemara, and then we'll answer, we'll see, I think this yisod play out. He sort of like this. What's Rabbi Shimon and his son doing in the cave for 12 years? They're going to be there for 12 years. What were they doing? What did they do, guys?
Hiding.
No, they weren't hiding. They were hiding. What were they doing?
Steiging.
They were steiging. Mm-hmm. For 12 years straight, they sat and learned Torah. That's all they were doing. They were learning Torah. And what could happen if you're sitting and learning Torah by yourself in a cave? What can you forget about?
The world.
Everyone else.
The world. Everybody else. And what's going on? So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu give them?
Okay.
He didn't give them a mango bush or a tree. I don't know what mangoes grow on. Okay? He didn't give them an apple tree. What did he give them? A carob tree. And water. Why? Because he's telling them like this. First of all, we learned last week. In Mayim El Torah. That he's telling them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, Shimon and his son, you're sitting in the cave, and you're going to be delving into Mayim. And he gave them Mayim. But see, you know what has to go with that Mayim? You know the only way that Mayim is going to be Matzliach? You're going to sit in this cave and you're going to be Matzliach? If you have the Cherev also. If you realize that Torah is not just for you. That Torah is for Klal Yisrael. And that the whole reason is for you to plant this tree of Torah. That later generations will have it. That's not just about you. That's about Klal Yisrael. It's about the world. And that's why I give him those two things. Your Mayim only is Mayim if it has the Cherev. That's my Chiddush. I hope it's MS. I think it's MS. Based on this, Yisod, it's MS. Oh, but now we'll understand an amazing thing. As Eliyahu, again, da-da-da-da-da. Next part of the Gemara is a little skipped, and then we're going to go, As Eliyahu become a pitcha de marasa. Eliyahu came to the opening, after 12 years, came to the opening of the cave. Amar, ma'am yode l'bar yochai de mis kesar batak zirasa. Who's going to tell Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that the Caesar died, and the gzira is over? Nafu. So Chazi inchi de kak Rabbi Vizari, Amar minichi chayo, oh, so, they left the cave. They saw there was a sign. Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to leave. 12 years they've been in this cave. They've been sitting in the cave for 12 years. They've been learning Torah, eating their carobs. And what happened? Chazu ichi tukak karabi vizari. They saw a guy who was planting. They said he's not learning Torah. He's delving into this world. How can he not be learning Torah? Anywhere that they looked, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son looked, they burnt the world. They were so angry. They couldn't stand, they couldn't deal with the world. Yatza Baskol Amar Lahem, a Baskol came out of Shemayim, and what did it say? You came to destroy the world? That's why I took you out of this cave? To go see other Jews and burn them? What did he say to them? Go back to the cave. You didn't learn your lesson yet. You're not ready to come to the world. What was the lesson of the cave? The lesson of the cave was the cheruv. To be able to deal with the world. To be able to understand the world. That's why I think the yisod is, the whole yisod of Torah is to attach things, not to detach things. To bring things together. That's why Talmid Chachamim, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, I don't know if we said this last week. Talmid Chachamim, the whole purpose of Talmid Chachamim is Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. They have to bring more Shalom to the world. Because the whole idea, their whole essence is to connect to people. They didn't have Shalom. Go back to the cave. Oh, after that, they went back to the cave. A year, they came out a year later. They saw, they went out of the cave. The Baskol came out again, said, could leave. They went, they saw a guy, I'll just say this outside, because we're running out of time. They saw a guy, he had two Adasim. They said, oh, what is this for? One's for Zachar, or one's for Shamor. I said, oh, beautiful. Look at the Jews, they know how to live in this world. What's Zachar for Shamor? Right? So this is another, Chiddush. I don't know, again, I don't know if this is true, but it fits in with our Yisod. I think, what gave them the Simcha? That they saw that and they realized, oh, Baruch Hashem. What's Zachar for Shamor? Where did Zachar for Shamor happen?
Seriously.
What? Where did that happen? Har Sinai. What did we say last week about Har Sinai? The whole Yisod of Har Sinai was not just getting the Torah, but it was that, again, you could, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's the idea of that Klal Yisod at that moment was Kishecha B'Lev Echad. That they realized that the Torah brought everybody together, that it had a purpose beyond itself. And when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saw him say Sachar B'Shamor, he said, ah, that's the sort of life. The sort of life of Yishecha B'lev Echad. My Torah is to give over. My Torah is not for me. I'm a Dali. That's the Yisod. And that's why couldn't, go back to the question, how come Haman said, I can't destroy Klal Yisrael in Shvat? Why? Because the Moshe Rabbeinu is the Dali. And he's learning Torah Lishma. What did we see last week in Rav Kook about Torah Lishma? Our enemies can't attack us. They can't destroy us. Torah Lishma is the forest field that protects Klal Yisrael. So in this month is the greatest Torah Lishma. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he thought, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar. They don't have Torah Lishma. So you're killing them. But they didn't realize that Moshe was born in Adar. And the whole Koach was really alive in Adar also. And the Jews always have a Koach to have that. This mamash, it's all beautiful, it's all perfect. It's all perfect. We see our Yisod, there's two Yisods. The two Yisods are that fit into two things that Rav Kook said. In the first paragraph of Rav Kook, those of us who remember, the first paragraph of Rav Kook said that when Torah Shebaal Peh, right, what's Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh is I'm continuing the Torah, but connected to Torah Shebaal, to Torah Shebaal Chetav. That's what we said. The whole idea of a Dali has two aspects. You have to be connected to the source and then give over. And that's the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. That it has to come from Torah Shebichsav, but then to give over new ideas and new chidushim and expanding on it. That's one. B, that's the first paragraph of Kook. The second paragraph of Kook is the Torah can't just be for me, it has to be for all of Klal Yisrael. It has to be for the whole world. So that's the sort of the care tree. So I just want to add one more idea which I heard from Rav Ari Kohn of DRS. That he said, there's one other thing that Az Yashir, what's Az Yashir? So Az Yashir is the morale says in Gvura Hashem, I think, that he said Az, he brings a Mechilta. Az has two explanations. Az can mean the past, right? Az back then, or Az then, then means then, or then. Oh. So Oz shares both of those things. What does it mean Oz Yashem Moshe Bnei Yisrael shares Oz Hashem? It means that they realized at that moment that in order to be Matzliach, entering the Mayim, they went to the Mayim and they were about to start their going up to Har Sinai, that they realized that without these two aspects of the past and the present, Klal Yisrael can't survive. That was the Oz Yashir. That was the Shira that they sang. That this is our Shira. The Torah is a Shira. And a Shira, the Chazal tell us, Shira is a circle. It means a circle. What's a circle? It means right, when you're singing a song, you go in a circle. And this whole idea of the song, it never ends. It just keep on going. It's like the high, the low, the high, the low, the high. What does it mean also? The circle means the past and the present. The past and the future all have to be touching each other.
And Dali.
What? And Dali is a circle. So not only that, Choni HaMagel, Choni the circle. He said in the circle, it's also the same result. If he's the guy in the circle. He's the guy who attached. He realized the idea of the past and the present have to come together. What's another aspect of the carob tree? So the question is, what are we celebrating on Tumi Shvat? In Shvat and Jav, what are we celebrating? Right? It's Motze Tumi Shvat right now. So again, like we said, even though it's not Tumi Shvat, but what did we celebrate? What's the idea that it represents? So we see that at this moment, the sap goes into the fruit or whatever it is to the tree that allows the blossoming to begin, and it's the beginning, and the fruit starts to blossom. But true, that's a lie, because if you first of all in America, if you're in America right now, it's snowing. Okay, there's no, you don't even see a tree. You just see like branches with like white. This kind, you know, there's no a concept of a budding tree is not in reality. And not only that, even Eretz Yisrael, the proof that it didn't blossom yet is when do we? There's one time a year we have to say a bracha on the trees when they start Nisan. That's 2 months from now. Meaning, in 2 months from now, the trees will start blossoming, and that's why we say the bracha because the trees will start blossoming. So, what's going on? What are we celebrating now? The beginning of what? Nothing's happening. You don't see anything. So, the truth is, there's two types of growth. There's the growth that you see with your eyes, that's visible, and you know that it's happening. That's Nisan. The actualization of that we could see with our eyes begins in Nisan. But what happens in Shvat? There's something deep down inside that's happening. The growth is beginning right now. It's not something you could see, but it's happening. For example, this is the same thing with Yad Hashem. There are times when we see Yad Hashem. At Kriyas Yamsuf, we saw Yad Hashem. You saw God open up the river, the sea, and we walked through it. That's Yad Hashem. But right now, I don't see the sea splitting, but is HaKadosh Baruch Hu guiding every second of my life right now? Bevedai. I don't see it. I'm breathing right now. Hashem's doing that. I'm thinking right now. I'm talking right now. God's doing that also. Tu Bishvat is realizing the yisod of the Yad Hashem that I can't see. The Yad Hashem that right now inside of me, right now there's a change that's happening. Right now in the fruits and in the trees, there's a change happening. I can't see what's happening. And like I said before, the Orga Dayo says that whenever there's a physical change happening in the physical world, in the spiritual realm, the same thing's happening. That right now, inside our Torah, specifically guys who've been sitting and learning Torah the whole year, that right now inside our Torah is starting to seep in. It's starting to have an effect. I think now it has to happen. Shoshim Yom Chag. We said, can't walk into Purim if your Torah is not a part of you. Now is when that panemius is starting to happen. And we can't see it, but we're thinking at Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're recognizing it's happening. And we're recognizing that there's a process. And throughout this process, we're growing, even if we can't see it. What represents that the most? The carob tree. The carob tree, for 70 years, I mean, it grew, after 70 years, you see the peros. After 70 years, right, you see it. But does that mean nothing was happening during those 70 years? Tons of things were happening during those 70 years. The tree was growing inside. So you didn't see outside, but inside, it was creating everything so that those fruits can blossom. And the carob tree tells us on Tu Bishvat, that's why you're supposed to eat baksa. Baksa is the carob, right? No one eats it. Everybody looks at it like, what are they, who came up with this, right? But maybe it's the sort of, even maybe after 70 years of working, I have a carob, right? I'm besimcha over the carob. But what we're really saying is, even though I can't see my peros, I know that the process is happening. I know that it's working. I know that even if I sit in yeshiva for 6 months and I don't feel a change, you realize, you sit, and you sit on Tu Bishvat and say, Baruch Hashem, there's things changing. It's happening. The steps are taking place. It's the Yad Hashem that I can't see, but I know it's there. That's the Simcha Tu Bishvat. Even when I don't feel it, I can't see it all the time, but it's happening. That's a tremendous, tremendous simcha. That's why it says, by the Shira, going back to the Shira, it always happens to be Shira, Az Yashir always falls out around Tu Bishvat because it's all connected. In the past 2 weeks, we've spoken about how much it connects. Here's another thing that connects. It says by the Shira, that it says that the Mitzrayim were drowned in 3 different ways. Mm-hmm. They were compared to straw, to lead, and to stone. And Rashi picks up on that. He says, why are the 3 allusions to the Mitzrayim drowning? So Rashi says it refers to 3 different types of Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim who are real Rishayim, the Isis Mitzrayim, they were straw. What's straw? Straw takes a long time until it reaches the bottom of the sea and drowns. Right? It sits on the top and it gets thrown around a little bit. It can't breathe. And then it goes back up, it gets some air, comes back down. That's straw. That's Isis. Mida Kenega Mida. The Mitzrayim who treated Klal Yisrael like Isis, they're straw. That's how they drowned. Then there's a second level, stone. Stone drops quicker than straw. Those were the Beinoni Mitzrayim, Hamas. Okay? And then the Tzadikim, if you could call them. Okay?
WPA.
I don't know who to call. So one of the Mitzrayim who were just Stam. Okay? They were like lead. They went, dropped down very quickly, and they died. And it says, Rav Simcha Broidy, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, he asked, he says, this was Shira Chadasha. But we said Oz Yashir was a new song. What was the new song? What's the Shira Chadasha? The unbelievable Yisod. The new song was, till this point, Klal Yisrael saw everything in front of them. Giluy. The whole thing was in front. They saw Yad Hashem. 10 Makos. This, the Kriyas Yamsuf, you saw Hashem's hand come in this world, and you saw, and it was Gevaldik. What did they recognize at this moment? When they saw that every Egyptian was drowning in a certain way, based on how they treated them in Mitzrayim, during that time when they thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't watching anything, right? They thought HaKadosh, they were just sitting in Mitzrayim rotting, Hashem didn't care, they saw that after all these years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was watching all this time, Oz Yashir, Shira Chadasha, a new song of even the things I didn't know that Kadosh Baruch Hu said he was there the whole time. Besimcha, the carob tree. It was the shira of the charov. It was the shira of after all these years I could finally see that Kadosh Baruch Hu was there the whole time. And he had hashpa. And that's the yisod. The yisod is don't just focus on the pre. The pre, when you see the good tasting things and it's clear that God's there, that you can taste it, that's not, we don't just celebrate that. We also celebrate the fact, our cheshek, aratzon, the steps that get us there, the day in, the day out, when it's hard, right? It's hard. We stay up late the night, and we wake up the next morning, have to do morning seder, afternoon seder, and everything's very, 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 very hard. But that's mamish, that also simcha. That's also the growth. And we'll finish with Or Gedal Yong, Parshas Korach. It said by Korach, we know Korach comes and fights. He says, why does Aaron deserve the kahuna? Why does Moshe deserve the leadership? So we know that everybody took a staff. Aaron took a staff, and on the staff grew the flowers and grew almonds. Tu b'Shvat, beautiful almonds, flowers, growth, blossoming. Das Kanim says an unbelievable thing. Das Kanim says, not only did Aaron's staff grow almonds, but when they grew the almonds, the flowers stayed. Who cares? Whoop-de-doo. Okay? So unbelievably, so it says, Lord, he says, no. Normally what happens is when the almonds grow, the flower falls away. The nace was the flower stayed on. What does that mean? What that means is when the almond grows, you can forget about the days when you had cheshek and ratzon and the blossoming that got there to bring out the almond. And when the fruit comes, you taste the fruit and you forget about the blossoming. The sword of Aaron was not only did he have fruit, I mean, not only did he deserve the peros, but even when he had the peros, he still had the flower, meaning he still had the cheshek, he wanted more. And he realized, I still need to work hard. Because the next blossom is only going to come if I work hard, and I continue to have that. And that's the Yisrael Aaron. Why? Because he's a Dali, like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Dali, we said, gives, but has to refill. And has to give, and has to refill. Has to give, has to refill. And that's how you're sold. We come to Tu B'Shvat, we realize, it could be a time that we start realizing, oh, I'm starting to maybe taste peros. But also realize, don't stop at those peros. Have the flower also. Keep on going. Keep on having the cheshek. Don't stop. You have to keep on going because we have to keep on giving out more to Klal Yisrael. And we have to give to our children. And it's not just about me. It's just about me. So you get the almond, eat it. That's it. Great. We need to produce a lot of almonds. It's a lot of Klal Yisrael. We need a lot of help. So Bezat Hashem, Chavu, we should be zocha to realize our koach. We should be zocha to realize the process that's going on inside. The payros that we're making. And how much Simcha Kadosh Baruch Hu is getting. And how much we're doing for Klal Yisrael. And Emirat Hashem, we'll be able to think of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're leading up now to Purim and to Pesach. Purim is a hidden miracle. Pesach is the revealed miracle. And come to Pesach, you can thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the revealed and for the hidden. You'll be able to do the Shira Chadasha. You'll be able to say Oz Yashir. Oz and Oz. Back then and now and in the future. Emirat Hashem, when we do that, Emirat Hashem, we should be able to see the ultimate plant, the ultimate seeds. To get the ultimate peros, the ultimate peros, and we bring the bikurim and harbayis, to bring it to the base of Migdash. And Mirza Hashem, we should all be zochet to be our Korban Pesach, to be our bikurim, and Mirza Hashem with all Klal Yisrael, the Binyan, base of Migdash, here, Amenu, Amen, the Amen.
Amen.